Morning. Good morning, family. And good morning. Such a blessing and an honor to be here this morning. You have a beautiful church. Thank you, Pastor Mike. Thank you. My name is Melissa Raid, and I'm a second-year student at Global Awakening, like Pastor Mike said. And I'd just like quickly to introduce my team to come forward, and I'll introduce them. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. This is my beautiful sister, Dara Bach, and she was here yesterday, and she did on prophetic protocol. She did teaching on prophetic protocol, so we're going to just ask the Lord to increase that right now. So throughout the service, if she gets any words at the end, we'll ask her to release those, and then I'll just move it on.
I'll just do myself. All right. Hi. Thanks for having us. My name is David. Also a second-year student, obviously, and I'm a missionary. I love Jesus, and it's pretty much my whole life. Yeah.
Hey guys, I'm Josh. I'm very excited to be here. I, like my friends, are all second-year students, and I'm happy to be here. And I like to be happy, and that's something about me. So, and I like basketball. So, yeah.
Hi, everybody. My name's Mike, and I'm from Boston. And that's my beautiful wife, Melissa, over there. And it's just a pleasure. Thank you so much for just to be here to worship with you and cast our crowns before the one, Jesus. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'll call you back up when we minister at the end. Thank you. So before I get started, too, I just want to let you know that there is a resource table in the back. David Hazard, he's our leader, and he will have you can come to any of our team, but you can especially go to David, and he'll ring you up on that. But I just want to introduce some of the books. This is by Dr. Randy Clark. It's an excellent book. It's one of the first ones you wrote. There is more. And as you can see by the title, there is more. There's always more, and we always want more. So he shares his experiences in there. And then also The Essential Guide of Healing by both Bill Johnson and Randy Clark. This is an excellent, excellent, excellent tool for additional healing practices and tools to use. So thank you. So again, my name is Melissa Raid, and I just want to thank Bayshore Christian Fellowship for welcoming me here today and our team. Like I said, so blessed and honored to be here. And the worship was absolutely amazing this morning. Absolutely amazing. So thank you. And yeah, there's going to be a major release of healing even more into this room as I bring forth the word. And peace. More peace will come upon people. So we ask and we bless that. So I first would just like to start with a quick prayer. So Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity for us to be together, to learn from you. And I pray for clarity as I speak and for understanding right now. And I ask just for more of your peace to come over this house, and that we open our hearts to hear and receive from you, Holy Spirit, and just receive all the love that your Son, Jesus Christ, has. Amen. So I'm really, really, really excited to be here today. And I am going to preach on the message of giving our whole selves to Christ or surrendering. Just to let you know, I'll be referencing Romans 12:1. Through 2, if you'd like to get your Bibles out for that. I'll be referencing that. Pretty much that's my message. So, how many of you here have heard that little song and dance, the Hokey Pokey? You know, you put your right hand in, you put your right hand out, you put your right hand in, and you shake it all about. You do the Hokey Pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Hey! So, but then at the very end, you know, you can go on with other body parts and your leg and your foot, you know. But the last part is you put your whole self in. You put your whole self out. You put your whole self in, and you shake it all about. Turn the hokey pokey, and you turn yourself around. That's what it's all about. Hey, so... Yeah, I did. Yes, thank you, host families, for having us. It was amazing. Yeah, so amazing. So I see this song as our life in Christ sometimes. Putting our whole selves in, putting our whole selves out, putting our whole selves in, and repeating that process who knows how many times. But it props me to what the Apostle Paul writes in Romans 12:1. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. To present your bodies is Paul's way of saying put your whole self in, or to me, surrender your whole self to Christ. This song and dance routine we call worship involves offering our whole self to Christ. To me, it seems a little bit more difficult at times, though, than this little playful dance rhyme. I see this hokey pokey dance is our life in Christ. In and out, and when shaken all about, out the will of God. See, I remember as a little girl, just tell you a little bit about myself and why this is so important to me. I loved this dance song when I was younger. I used to go to my grandparents' house and play it. And in kindergarten, I did like a little skit on it, and I just had so much fun with it and get everybody involved in it. And when I grew up, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, but I always knew that God was present in my life. I could just feel him. I could feel his love. I could feel his protection. And I always used to talk to him as a little girl, and I would be praying at nights. And even though I couldn't hear him or see him, I just knew that he was always there and he was always protecting me. But see, as I started to get older, I started distancing myself from family, isolating myself, and just disconnecting from others. I started losing my identity, and I turned towards alcohol as a very young teenager. And I started to put myself out from him. And as I got older into my teens, and it got more prevalent, progressing into my college years and into my young adulthood, actually my later adulthood as well, I became more self-destructive as the enemy came in more forceful and darkness quickly started to consume my world. And I reached the point where it seemed hopeless and extremely empty. I was just drinking to lose myself and who I really was and who I was really meant to be. I didn't know where God was. I didn't know myself. The tolls of my drinking started to affect others around me, putting them in danger, and repercussions arose as I was convicted and jailed for my first DUI. And approximately a year later, I got a second advanced DUI. You know, I was jailed for my first one, like I said, convicted, paid the price, did all the stuff I was supposed to do with the courts, and pretty much when all those repercussions were done, just a year later, I got another one. Let's do it again, right? And this time, it was quite advanced. And when I mean advanced, I mean my blood alcohol content was 0.48. That means half of my body was almost consumed of alcohol. And who would have thought that a 120-pound, frail little body could have survived this? I went to jail, and I was immediately admitted to a mental institution because I was a threat to myself and to others around me. But this didn't stop me. As soon as I got out, 3 months later, I was brought to the hospital DOA, dead on arrival. Because I had been in a huge stupor blackout and absolutely shattered had a compound fracture to my right leg where I had shattered my tibia and fibia, and they said that I probably would never be able to walk normal again or with a cane. again sent to another mental institution. And then just again, 3 months later, another DUI. See, the enemy knew just to keep coming at me. I didn't know anything else. That third DUI, I woke up in the hospital. I had a neck brace on. I'd been in a car accident where, by the thank God, every day I did not kill anybody because I was just killing myself. I had a catheter in me. I had handcuffs on. And again, I was sent to another mental institution because they said all I did was scream and cry out that I wanted to kill myself and I wanted to kill others, the doctors, the police, and my family. So they immediately sent me to another mental institution. At this time, obviously, I was in crutches, but as soon as they got me to the mental ward, they put me in a wheelchair. And I was in the hallway with this wheelchair, confined to it. I remember I was there, and I just went to pick up my payphone, because I think I was actually getting ready to call my attorney again. I just had no idea what to do. And I finally just cried out to God. And I just said, I can't do this anymore. You won't let me die. I don't know what else I can do. So I just surrendered. And I said, I give you myself. And I immediately just dropped to the floor as his spirit just totally came and intoxicated my body. I was finally ready to surrender and dance to his song and put my whole self in. But little did I know this at that time, I just knew I was done. As Paul states by Romans 12:1, by the mercies of God, this is by his mercy that I'm here today telling you this. As in Lamentations 3:22-23 says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This was approximately just 6 years ago when I surrendered to God, and it has been nothing but mind-blowing, wonderfully amazing, renewing experience. God started working within my heart, loving me when I didn't love myself. I wanted to die, as my testimony says, but today, as worship was today, I have freedom. I have such amazing freedom and so much love for others that I never knew I could give. And it's my desire, but most of all, I have Jesus. Jesus gives that freedom. So it's my desire for all of you to have this today, too. It's a lifestyle. It's not just an event that happens when we surrender. It's a profound, blood-bought, spirit-want change from the inside out. Love comes in, and it nurtures. It starts to heal. It changes, and it reproduces you in your soul and your spirit to Christ-like qualities. It's an automatic response when we surrender. It's a byproduct, the fruits of the Spirit. This comes with transformation. As in Romans 12:2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. This is such freedom, absolute radical freedom. But even though Paul says that the Christian life is submitted, as he states in Romans 8:7, or even enslaved, as he says in Romans 6:18, to the revealed will of God, it is described throughout the whole New Testament that this is radically free. This is also stated in 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, like it said in worship this morning. So this is so confirmed. There is absolutely, when Spirit and truth meet, there is freedom. And also in Galatians 5:1, it says there is freedom in Christ. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. I was enslaved, absolutely enslaved, not by Christ, but of the devil. Absolutely consumed. But this is the reason why Christians today have freedom. We have the transformation from bondage to freedom. Because freedom is doing what you love to do. Because what you love, what you ought to do is what you love to do, you know that's freedom. And that is transformation. See, transformation is change of our hearts, like I said earlier. It's when we love to do what we ought to do, transformation's happening. It's a heart thing. As I said, we convert to the ways of Jesus. The freest people in the whole world are doing exactly what they want to do and what they like to do because it's pleasing and it's good because they want to. And they do it out of their hearts because they're not going to suffer for it, but they're going to rise with ever-increasing joy with Jesus. And that's what happens with transformation. We follow all the love of the sinful things we ought not to do. The Christian life is one long process of crucifying these old desires, and by experiencing the power of the Holy Spirit, we are awakened of new passions and new desires. I can stand here in front of this church today and tell you that there is no other place I would rather be but by loving you and welcoming you and preaching this message to you today, because as my story illustrates, just 6 years ago, this was not the case. Because I am free from the bondage of self, the bondage of the enemy. Hallelujah, because God transforms. Hallelujah to that. So now we get to the part where Paul says the renewing of our mind, because that is what he says is transformation. You might be sitting here today, maybe by the working of the Holy Spirit, saying, well, I might not feel very free and delightful in the things that I ought to be loving to do. And you're wondering, I wonder how and when I need to get this change? Because that's what the next verse says in Romans 12:2, as I read earlier. Be transformed by the renewing of the mind. So what is that, and how do I get it? Anyone may be pondering this thought? Well, first, I must point out that there's a problem with our minds. There can be a major problem with our minds at times. I know with mine anyways. So we have what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:4, strongholds. And he says that it's our job in this battle to destroy these strongholds and take captive of every thought to make it obedient with Christ. So what is a stronghold? It's like a mental block. There are broken thoughts that are inconsistent with the knowledge of God. They can be one of two things. You can have a worldview, such as materialism, secularism, atheism, communism. They're all sorts of isms that are mental strongholds that people have up against God. Or there's personal attitudes or personal isms, worrying, seeking approval from others, anything else that makes an idol in your life than God, fear, guilt, resentments, insecurities. These are mind strongholds. The enemy is just waiting to kill, steal, and destroy you with these strongholds, and the Bible says that we must tear them down. And then we have what's called mindsets. And the Bible has a more profound solution to me, as Paul says in Ephesians 4:23, that's parallel to Romans 12:2. Be renewed by the spirit of your mind. So what's that? Spirit of your mind? It means that your mind is just not like a computer chip managing data to have the heart respond to it. It has a mindset. It has a spirit to it. It has a view. It has a viewpoint. It just doesn't have the power to perceive and detect. It also has a posture, it has a demeanor, it has an attitude to it. The problem with our minds is merely that we are not finite and cannot process information, but that it's fallen and it doesn't recognize the absolute supremacy of God. Our minds are bent on not seeing God as more praise than the things that we personally achieve. Basically, we can be self-centered and self-seeking at times. We have self-naturing minds, self-worshipping minds. This is the spirit of our minds. So what's the answer? We need heavenly mindsets. And to get this, we need the double action of the Holy Spirit. We need a lot of Holy Spirit to come in, because we need him to work from the outside in and from the inside out. He must work from the outside, exposing the mind of Christ to us, his exalting truth. And that will lead us to hear the gospel, read the Bible, study him, meditate on him, get into his word in a quiet place, seek relationship with him. He will transform you. He'll just transform your mind. We also need the Spirit to come in and work from the inside out, breaking our hard heart and humbling us to receive this truth. We must have both, because if we only work from the outside in to present Christ's truth to our minds, but don't break the heart to humble us, then the truth would just be shunned and rejected. And if we only humbled our heart, but had no Christ exalting truth in front of our mind, there would be no Jesus and there would be no worship. We need the dual action of the Holy Spirit, folks. When Spirit and truth meet, we have freedom and we worship. We put our whole selves in. We surrender, but we must be willing, and we will transform, and we will be loving to do what we ought to do freely. So, like I mentioned earlier, it's a lifelong process for us Christians to lay down and to rest these sinful natures. But we must invite the Holy Spirit in to renew, transform our minds to Christ. Repent. Read his word. Study. Meditate on him, seeking more of his truth. Read your Bible. Discover him in that secret place. Just worship him. He wants close, intimate friendship and relationship. And just pray, 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 and never, never cease praying. Bill Johnson, he's the lead pastor at the Bethel Church, and he has a great suggestion in one of his books that I read this year, our school was required to read, which is excellent. It's called The Supernatural Power of a Transformed Mind. He says to write it down. He writes down, or he journals, anything that's given from him from others, and he promises some visions, some dreams. This keeps him going, keeps him motivated for the desires that God has for him and the promises on his life. This drives from experience with the Holy Spirit. So quickly, personal experience. Soon after my reborn experience about 6 years ago, God gave me a vision and then was confirmed about 4 months later from a well-known prophet that I'd be going to Africa and I would be doing mission work and that I'd be working with families and children and sharing the gospel. I prayed about it, prayed about it, prayed about it, wrote it down, journaled, and prayed. And 2 years later, which actually this past summer, I was blessed enough to go to Pemba, Mozambique and go to the Harvest School, to a mission school. And all I had to do was just surrender to him, surrender to his will, listen to him, meditate on him, get into his word, ask for transformation, and it'll come true. And there was just such freedom in this. And you talk about transformation, there is nothing but transformation so far with my walk with God. And it's just going to get better, everybody. And it can get better for you. So what do you love to do? I bet you it's not of this world, but of his. Do you like to pray for somebody because they're sick, They're down on their luck. You know they're having a bad day. Just add a smile to their face. Do you serve somebody a meal? Or share your lunch with somebody because they don't have any? Or do you just listen to a stranger in a complete line, a complete stranger in a line at the grocery store? And you're having a bad day, but you realize that someone's day, someone's situation is worse than yours. Or do you just show compassion for someone because you know they have none? And you just bring a smile to their face. And it's not because of self, it's not because of this world, but it's because of His. It's the same way you look at it. You're surrendering to Him. You're doing His will, and just watch the freedom and watch Christ just shine through. So I ask you today, is there anything laying on your hearts? Is there anything specific that you'd like to lay down for Christ to receive more freedom? As I feel that there's just going to be so much more peace and transformation that's going to happen today. So I'd like to ask the ministry team to come up, and if there's anybody that would like to stand up or go to the aisle and would like more prayer, anything in specific. But I just truly believe that God wants to heal more. So if you'd like to, yes, stand up or come to the aisle, and we'll come and minister to you. So I just want to say thank you today. Thank you for us being here. Thank you for us to deliver the word. And just thank you for this church. We've really been so honored and blessed to be here. Amen.
All right, so some of us had some words of knowledge. If you were here, yeah, awesome. If you were here yesterday, you know what those are. If you weren't, basically it's a prophetic word about healing for somebody. Feel free to come up if you wanted the normal, the prayer for the altar call for the rest and the peace and the surrender. But we're going to give out the words of knowledge, and then everybody just, you can just all come up at once. So, Josh.
So the main one I got was a pain right here. Is that for anybody? It's kind of like right above the hip, but it's more like a muscle thing. Anybody? No? We'll think about it. And no, I'm kidding. And I also had like a weird like head, kind of like a tingly, so like probably like a fogginess in the head or something like that. Did you? Cool. So if that's for anybody, come on up, stand up. And David, do you have any, Missy?
Yeah, no. I just want to confirm I also have the same with the head. I feel there's like a continuous headaches. Well, then it needs to be released. Continuous headaches that are occurring, and yeah, it starts from the front and actually can move to the back of the head. Perfect.
If the word of knowledge is for you, could you stand up just so we can see who they're for? All right. So one, going for a couple more. I had a lot, but they said most of them already. Pain in the left side of the jaw, like right here. Awesome. You're going to get all the healing today. Soreness in the back of the neck. And I felt like it was giving you trouble, like holding your head up for long periods of time. All right. And then does spina bifida mean anything to anybody? I like creative miracles, so that would be a fun one. Oh, all right.
I didn't have a word of knowledge, but I felt like I had a prophetic word for the church. So during worship, I saw like oil over everyone's head, and I just felt like that oil was like the love of God. And I felt like He was really going to pour it out. Like, I don't know the time frame, but I really feel like it's like strong. So, yeah.
Is there any way that you could test like to see if the healing has already happened? Any way, like, could you not move in a place before? Did your headache stop? Did your just do this over and over again? I look like an idiot, but it's fine. At all? That's one. That's awesome. Come on, Jesus. All right. And is there any difference? No? were you standing up for that one too? The headache? All right. Has that changed at all? Okay. So what we see a lot is God, we just release the word and God just heals people. We didn't pray for it and you got healed and yours are going to get healed in a minute. So Josh, I want you to pray for the headache and then I'll go for the jaw one and heal it.
So
yeah,
the river, come to the river. So Holy Spirit, we thank you for healing. We thank you that you touch heads. Come on up, guys. Come on. So yeah, David, you want to? Yeah, we'll just put our hands on you guys. So God, we just thank you that you heal, that you take away headaches, and we say headaches go right now. In Jesus' name, we speak clarity to mind, clarity to thoughts, order to thoughts, God. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Any aching go? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. How's your head feel? Good? Better all the way? Don't be nice to me. Just tell me, you know. Yeah, a lot better. Yeah, that's sweet. Anybody, Luke? How you feel? More clarity? That's good. That's good. Yeah. Yeah, God, will we bless Luke's mornings with clarity?